Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now at the beginning of Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph in Masechet Nedarim, and we have in front of us, as promised in the previous podcast, the last four Mishnayot of the Perek, Vav, Zayin, Chet, and Tet, which are all grouped together, and then a discussion in the Gemara about an apparently unrelated topic, which we will not resolve in this podcast. At the beginning of the next podcast, the final podcast of the Perek, we will discover how our Mishnah is invoked in the middle of that discussion in trying to solve one of the positions. Here we go. Mishnah Vav. Konam perot ha'elu alai. We've seen this Mishnah several times already. Konam hein alpi, konam hein lefi. What if you ban particular perot? Asur b'chilufeinu v'gidulehen. You are not allowed to benefit from exchanging them or from what they grow. In other words, planting them and having them grow. Now, sha'ani ochel sha'ani toem, but if you ban not that you won't eat or taste them, then you are pointing more to the direct fruit itself and not its byproducts. Mutar chilufeinu v'gidulehen. You're allowed to benefit from its exchange and from that which it grows from it. That's the davar shezaro kale. All of that is true, and we did not make this stipulation earlier, but here is the main point of discussion, the main area of discussion, so we're going to bring it out here. But davar shezaro kale, this is only true if it germinates. Aber davar shein zaro kale, like a bulb, something that does not germinate, afilu gudilei gudilei nasurin, even if you grow something and then plant that and it grows, ad infinitum, it is still asur, because after all, the original piece is still there. That's Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Zayin takes a sort of parallel split. Ha'omer l'ishto konam maaseh adai chalayif. A man bans benefiting from his wife's earnings. Konam hein alpi, konam hein lefi. One of three ways. The same nusach that was used in Mishnah Vav. Asur b'chilufeinu gudilein. Again, he's not allowed to benefit, so if she has earnings and then she swaps that money for other money, or she invests it in something, it is asur. Shani ochel v'shani toem, if he points to it, and let's say she gets paid in food and he bans eating it, mutar b'chilufeinu gudilein. She could take that food and sell it, and then he could use the money, or she could plant the food, and he could then eat from the results. That's what the varsha zaro kalei. Again, as we saw before, that's only true about something that germinates because it disappears. However, the varsha ein zaro kalei afilu gidulei gidulav asurin. Same thing we had before. Now, the last two mishnayot are going to deal with the time parameter and the issue of. This mishnah will just deal with wording in regards to a time parameter and where the time parameter is placed within the context of the neder. So if he says sha'at osa eni ochel ara pesach, that which you create, I will not benefit until Pesach, that means he's banning his own benefit until Pesach. Once Pesach is over, it's gone. Sha'at osa eni mitkaseh ara pesach, or what you make, I'm not going to wear until Pesach. If she made it before Pesach, the minute Pesach's over, he can benefit from it. Because what did he ban? He banned his own benefit till Pesach. Once Pesach's over, it doesn't matter when the thing was created, he is allowed to benefit. But if he says, she'ato sa'ara Pesach in Eochel, he simply took the words out of Pesach and put them earlier in the sentence, so they are now not modifying his ban, but modifying when she made it. If you made it before Pesach, sha'at osan a Pesach in mikaseh, or something you weave or you earn as clothing, I will not wear. If it was done before Pesach, then astalifnei Pesach, asur la'achol itkasot achar Pesach. If she made it before Pesach, then he's not allowed to eat or benefit or whatever, wear it, whatever it may be, even after Pesach forever. Because here he did not ban himself from benefiting till Pesach. Pesach is not the time frame of his ban, but rather it's the time frame sort of the condition. Anything you make until Pesach is under ban forever. The last Mishnah picks up on this and splits it a little bit wider between the ban and the condition. He doesn't want his wife to go back to her father's house for whatever reason. So he says, I'm not going to benefit, you're not able to benefit from me until Pesach. If you go to your father's house by Sukkot, and we're assuming now that we're talking sometime in the winter, so Pesach is coming first. Hachalifnei Pesach, so if she goes to her father's house now, before Pesach, Asur Manatora Pesach. She's not allowed to benefit from him until Pesach, because he said, if you go to your father's house by Sukkot, then you're not allowed to benefit from me until Pesach. The minute that she went, from now until Pesach, she can't benefit. However, watch this. Lachar Pesach, Beval Yachel. If she goes to her father's house after Pesach, then anything that she benefited before Pesach is now a violation. Now we've got the inverse, where the condition lapses earlier than the ban. He says, you're not allowed to get benefit from me till Sukkot if you go to your father's house by Pesach. So if she goes to her father's house before Pesach, she can't get benefit from her husband till Chag. But certainly, after Pesach, she can go to her father's house, and it's no problem because the condition was only made until Pesach. Okay, those are the Mishnayot. Now, the Gemara quotes the second Mishnah, Mishnah Zion, and just leaves us hanging and tells us a story. Yishmael Ish Kfar Yama. This is a man in Israel named Yishmael. Amrila Ish Kfar Diyama. So he's either from Kfar Yama or Kfar Diyama. Helabiyado. He raised the following question. Batsel She'akaro B'Shvi'it. If you uprooted an onion during Shemitah, so this onion is itself prohibited because it's an onion of Shvi'it. Unata'o B'Shmi'it. And then you replanted it on the eighth year, which is Mutar. And now there is more new growth than there is of the original piece, which means a majority of this thing grew beheter. This is what he asked. Gidulav heter v'ikaro isur. The growth is heter, the original piece is asur. Kevan derabu gidulav mikaro. Since there is more of the growth over the original, otan gidulin gidulay heter malina ta isur olo. Does the growth which is heter, does it nullify, or shall we say, does it fix the ikar and make the whole thing mutar? In other words, he seems to take it for granted that the leaves that sprouted during the eighth year you could for sure take, and the fruit that sprouted you could for sure take. The question is, if the entire body is now 70% eighth year and 30% seventh year, is the whole thing mutar? All right, and that's what he asked. Atala coming to Rabbi Ami. First he came to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami didn't know. Atla came to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. He came to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Pasha lemihad hadan. He answered provisionally from the following ruling. So Rechanina Trita'a Amar Rabbi Yanai quoted Rabbi Yanai. Batzal shel truma shenita'o. If you take truma, you have a bunch of onions and you separated truma, and one of those onions is a truma onion, and you replanted it. V'rabu gidula valikaro. And now there's more new growth than there is the original. Mutar, you're allowed to eat it. A non-coin's allowed to eat it, which means that the growth, if it becomes a majority of the plant, makes the whole plant follow the status of the growth, which in this case, mutar. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah turned to Rabbi Ami and said, "Vitem Rabbi Zvika, Shavik Mar Train Va'avid Kechad. You are ignoring two authorities and following one, Rabbi Yanai. There's two other authorities who disagree with that principle. Why are you ignoring their position and following Rabbi Yanai leniently? Maninu Train. So now we ask, who are those two? Ravalam Rabbi Yochanan. First of all, Rabbi Yochanan, very big rabbi, the chief rabbi of Israel. Yalda shesibcha bizkina. Yalda means a new plant, which means it's orla, it's within the first 3 years. And it was woven together, or grafted with an old one. Uva perot. And it has perot on it. Afal pisha hosifa mataim. Even though the old growth is 200 times as much. You know, or the thing grew 200 times as much from when it was originally grafted, which normally cancels out orla. Asur, it's still asur, because you still have orla there. Rabbi Yonatan, who was a little earlier than Rabbi Yochanan, batzel shenat obekerem. Let's say that you planted onions in a vineyard, thus creating kilei hakerem. V'nekar hakerem, and then the vineyard was uprooted, and all you've got is these onions. Asur, the batzel is asur, even though it has since grown, and a majority of its growth happened after the vineyard was uprooted. Nonetheless, the gidul, the growth, does not nullify the ikar, the original bulb. Right? So therefore, Rabbi Zrika or Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Ami, why are you following Rabbi Yanai leniently when you have Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan, who in the same position seem to rule stringently? So he answers, so that was the end of the discussion with Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Hada ata l'tamid Rabbi Ami. So now this Yishmael fellow who had the question came back to Rabbi Ami, and evidently he presented everything that happened so far. Upashit levin hada. And Rabbi Ami, in the meantime, found a solution, and he had a solution which again was lenient, allowing it. Then Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan, another ruling of Rabbi Yochanan. Litra b'tzalim, a whole bunch of b'tzalim. So it's a measure. Shetikna. So there's a bunch of b'tzalim, of onions, and you took tithes from it, uzra'ah, and then you replanted it. All right, which means you replanted the fixed stuff. In other words, you had 100 onions. You took out 2 for truma, and you took out another 9 for 10 for maser, etc. And then you replanted everything that was left. Mit aseret lefikula. You have to separate maserot based on the entire volume of what you now harvest, which, by the way, includes all of the original bulbs that were already fixed, which means alma otan gidulin vatlin ikar. That proves to you that the growth nullifies the original, and the definition of this bulb is now based on the growth, which is now a majority. All right, so then that's why you have to think masrot based on the full volume, not based on the volume of the added amount. So Dimalachum Rashani. So they responded to Rabbi Ami. That doesn't prove that in Rabbi Shmuel, in this Shmuel's case, we should rule, which would be lenient, because that's a stringency. Maybe we do rule that growth overcomes the original and redefines the original when it's a stringency. So now, Elamin Hada. So he had a different source to use. The Tana Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shimon says, Kol Davar Sheishlo Matirin. Now, this is a complex category, but Davar Sheish Lo Matirin means any prohibition which there is a way to repair it. And we'll see examples. Kegon Tevel. Tevel, you're not allowed to eat fruit that hasn't been tithed, but you can fix it by tithing. Umasa Sheni, you're not allowed to eat Masa Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, but you can fix it by transferring the sanctity to a coin of its value, plus a fifth, etc., and then the food is now chulin. Vehektesh, all right? That's another example. Same thing. And chadash. Chadash is a different kind of example because new grains that have been harvested since the last Omer offering was brought are not allowed to be eaten until the next Omer offering is brought. So if you harvest grains in March, you can't eat them until the Omer is brought. But it's the Davar Sheish Lo Matirin because all I have to do is wait and then it becomes mutar. So the Davar Sheish Lo Matirin really has two components to it, or two avenues available. One of them is you getting involved in fixing it like Tevel. The other is time. So for instance, Chametz is called Davar Sheish Lo Matirin, and therefore, because a week later it's mutar. Now, how does that work? Lo notnu behem chachamim shiur. What did Rabbi Shimon say? Everything that is a davar sheish lo matirin, anything that either with time will become permitted or else you can repair, has no shiur, which means it is never nullified. And no matter how much of heter there is piled on top of it or mixed into it, it's all asur. That's why chametz, for instance, osir b'mashu. Now, anything that does not have any vehicle for heter, kegon, like what, truma, right? Utrumat ma'aser, v'chala, all of those things can't be fixed. Once you've separated and identified something as truma, there's nothing else you can do with it. It's truma now, it's truma forever, and there's nothing you can manipulate about it that's going to make it not truma. Same thing is true about trumat ma'aser, which is the tenth that the Levi has to give from his ma'aser, and chala, which is what you give to the kohen, v'orla. Orla can't be fixed because the stuff that grew during the first 3 years will always be asur even after those 3 years. Ukile hakerem. Also, if you mixed wheat and in a vineyard under those circumstances dealt with in kilayim, it's prohibited forever. Therefore, netnu mehem chachamim shiur. Every one of those has a shiur. Chatruma, for instance, trum maser, batel b'mea, orla and kilayim hakerem, batel b'matayim. There is an amount of nullification. That's what Rabbi Shimon said. So far, we haven't gotten our solution. Amrulo. So what did the rabbi say back to Rabbi Shimon? V'alo shvi'ita in lamatirin. Shemitah has no matirin, meaning stuff that was grown during Shemitah is still classified as Shemitah fruit even afterwards. So there's nothing, time lag doesn't help, and there's nothing you can do to change it. You can't declare it 6th-year fruit. And so Shvita and Namatirin, Velona Nuba Chacham Shior, and Chachamim nonetheless, according to your reasoning, Rabbi Shimon, Shmita should be bottled with some amount, 100, 200, 1,000, or something like that, of non-Shmita stuff should cancel out the Shmita. Non Shvita Seret Kol Shubamina, because the Mishnah in Shvit says that Shmita prohibits even in the smallest amount of Shmita stuff and everything else is there, it's all Asur. So that's what the attack of Rabbi Shimon, that your categorization doesn't work, because here we have a counterexample. Here we have Shemitah, which is Oser B'chol Shehu. It has no nullification yet. It's Dover She'in L'Matirin. Amar Lahana Fanilo Amarti Elo L'Biur. Rabbi Shimon said back to them, I was only referring, when I said my ruling, to Biur. Biur meaning that at the you're allowed to eat Shemitah fruit of your own stuff until the area, the region that you're in, and this is discussed in Masach Shvita, obviously, the region that you're in is out of that particular type of fruit or grain, in which case you have to clear it out of the house. So anything that you had beforehand is a davar sheish lo matirin, and therefore it has no shiur. Avala achila benotein tam. But lachila meaning eating it after zman biur, then I disagree with you. There is a shiur, which is noten tam, the classic shiur for taruvot. Anytime you mix things together, then it's often the shiur is noten tam, meaning when the prohibited thing has given taste into the rest, and if it's less than that, it's not able to give a taste, the whole thing is batel. Says there is a shiur if it's lachila because of arshin lamatirin. That's Rabbi Shimon. Now, what does that prove to you? That proves to you that when it comes to Shemitah, there is a bitul, and the gidul should be mevatel the ikar. But all that we've seen from Bishimon is that he's willing to be machmir and say that if there is a growth that is asur, it's going to be mevatel the other. All right, Elamin Hadapashta. So Rabbi Yami had to solve it from this one, another source, source number 3. Tinan Betzalim Shiradu Aleim Kshamim Betzamchu. This is in Shvi'it. If you have onions, and it rained on these onions, these are onions that were grown in the 6th year, and they were sitting out there during Shemitah, and it rained on them, and they started growing, started sprouting leaves. Imayu Alin Shalhan Shchorin, if they are black, which means really dark green, Asurin, because it means that now this is fresh growth, which means the new growth during the 7th year redefines as a Shemitah. But that's a Chumrah. Horiku mutarin. But if they're just light green, then it's mutar, because that's not serious growth. Their growth was mainly during the 6th year. Chananya ben Antigona Somer, he has a different shita. Cholin talesh ba'alin shalain, if their leaves are so strong that you can pull them out of the ground with the leaves, then asurin. Then they've really taken root, and they're Shemitah fruit. They're asur. That's not the part we care about. This is what we care about. Uchanegdan lemotzei shvi'it mutarin. But the same thing, Shemit, 7th year to the 8th year, is mutar, meaning if you have stuff that was grown during Shemitah, and during the 8th year, rain fell on it, and the leaves became dark green, according to Hanuman Antigonus, you're able to pull it out of the ground now because the leaves are so strong, then it's mutar because it's become redefined as an 8th year fruit, which means the gidul is mevatel the ikar, and now we've got an example of kula. So remember the gidul ahetar malina ta'isur. You see that the gidulim that are at a time of heter make permissible the ikar. Avedum duchanin. Maybe there we're talking about onions that you totally smashed up and ground up into little pieces and put them in the ground, so they really have been totally negated, but not a full bulb sitting there like the one that the Shishmael from Kfar Yama is holding in his hand. Elamin Hada. So, even though that was a good proof, we say, maybe that's talking about Muduchanin, let's find another one. We have the following. Detanya, you have a Braita. Hamanakeshim Hakuti Bechasiot. If somebody is hoeing with a non-Jew, Kuti is a Shomroni, a Samaritan, in Chasiot, which are bulbs, kind of bulbs. Ochel mihen achilat arai. So like anybody else, when you're working in the field, you're allowed to eat stuff right there without having to separate masrot. Umeasran vadai. However, the point of this is that once you bring it into the granary and you heap it, you have to take masrot vadai, not tamai, because there is no thought, no consideration that the Samaritan will separate trumot to masrot, because that's something they don't do. And Amaretz, yes, Samaritan, no. That's just the setup. Now, Bishimon Elazar Omer, im Yisrael chashud al shvit, let's say you're working not with a Samaritan, but with a Jew who is suspected of not observing Shemitah, lemotzei shvit mutar, you're allowed to hoe with him immediately after Shemitah, the Shemitah year, you can work with him. And when you don't have any concern that you perhaps you're helping him work with Shemitah fruit. Because why? Because now the stuff that's grown during the eighth year cancels out the status of Shemitah fruit. There's a good proof. So the Mamer, the Gedula Heter, Malina Taisur, because now that it has had time after Shemitah, the stuff that's growing now is now defined as eighth year stuff, even though it originally grew in the seventh year, because the Gidulin are Malina Taisur, Vidumah Devarsha Zaro Kalei. Maybe we're talking about wheat and things like that that germinate, and that's why you're allowed to work with them, because nothing's left. And this now evokes a little bit of our Mishnah. You can't say that because the word chasiyot, we have a brayta that says chasiyot are garlic and onions. They're bulbs, so therefore they're not. It's not. They don't germinate. Maybe we're talking about a situation where you took these bulbs, or the Jew took the bulbs and he ground them up and then put them in the ground, and they really have disappeared. That's why you're allowed to work with them. No, chashal ashviik tani. We're talking about a Jew who's suspected of working on Shemitah, which means he planted these in the normal fashion. That's the problem. V'duma b'tarovet. Maybe we're talking about a case where the stuff is mixed together. No, hamanachesh k'tani. The Braita says you can hoe with him, which means the stuff isn't mixed up together. It's already planted in the ground. And nonetheless, it says you can work with him after Shemitah. And there's no concern. Why? Clearly because we consider that the growth that took place in the eighth year redefines this as being mutar, and even though the original part grew during Shemitah, nonetheless, it's defined as an eighth year fruit, and it's mutar, and so Rabbi Yami now explained why we followed Rabbi Yana's ruling against Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan, because of all these different proofs, but finally, this is the proof that seemed to slam it home, demonstrates that Gidule Heter Malina Ta'isur. What we'll see in the next podcast, the final podcast on the Perek, is how Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan would respond to this. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.